your heart beats faster and faster.
Got a good one tonight, guys. Witches flying past on broomsticks, black cats sleeping here and there, white robed spooks on every corner, mournful moaning in the air, goblins peering out the window, spirit things that rap and run. But don't be scared, it's just October, having one last hour of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sunday night, and this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, that's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where 1 to 2 episodes of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show before bed might help you sleep, but the side effects are too numerous to count.
Might help you sleep during the show.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. Hey, Gary,
you
are back.
You sounded like a child molester when you read that.
Did I? We'll talk about that in counseling.
Yeah, there was. You were just too gleeful about that. Like, I expected you to be driving an ice cream truck outside of an elementary school.
We'll talk about this in counseling. Hey, gang, we're back live in studio, and this is the GD chat room. We'll be in there all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And it's the Ghostman Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And I'm still Jason Gowan.
Guys, this is the Sunday, September 20th broadcast of our little show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burrison. It's broadcast live on Absurd Radio, KarmaCast, Omnisound Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and Para-X Radio.
Okay, guys, tonight's guest, this just in, Melissa Martinellis, author of Everything Ghost Hunting. So we're going to get into Halloween season, guys. We're going to start revving it up early. We're going to talk about everything ghost hunting tonight on the G&D show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Follow someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Yay, another week, another week.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Bob, for bringing us in. Bob the Demon, everybody.
Yeah, Bob the Demon. He's been with us for a while, man, down the road. You know,
he has since, like, almost day one.
Is that his name, Bob?
Bob the Demon, yep.
Yeah, I never got, like, the Bible to this show that tells me all the things I should know.
We're going to write a book, the autobiography of Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, that's right.
And the rest, yeah.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
All,
so, Jason,
all three pages should be funny there, Sean.
Oh, first off, before we get started too much, guys, you know I'll forget. I want to thank all our listeners around the world and here close in the United States for listening to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Ooh, that's so nice.
Thank you. That is nice.
We should throw out there, too, for those of you who are expecting us to bring on Marie D. Jones tonight. Marie had an emergency. She had to rush out of town. Asked to come on at a later date. We are going to have her on, but tonight we're going to have on Melissa Martin Ellis with the Everything Ghost Hunting book.
But see, for a ghost hunting show, a paranormal related show, that seems like it's going to knock out 50% of why we do the show.
You know,
she wrote a book called Everything Ghost Hunting. I mean, that's it. We'll wrap it up in a half hour tonight, guys.
But you should definitely go out and check it out and pick it up in the stores and check out the front cover, because I'll tell you, that front cover is cool. You know, it's got this great quote at the top, and it's my quote. So go ahead and get it out there.
There you go. There you go. Everybody run out and grab a copy and write Nathan, tell him how much you like his quote on the front cover.
Hey, you gotta take your props where you can get them, right?
You gotta take them. But hey, our good buddy Tim Yancey and Trish, we love them so much. They were on the love of my life show, the Encounters Paranormal Radio Show. A great show comes on right before us, guys. And what a great show they had. They had Kenny Biddle on tonight, Nathan, Jason.
Oh, you got to love any show when Kenny Biddle's on, because he just rips apart everything we believe in, and that's the whole part of it.
Well, it's so funny to miss.
He inadvertently has caused me to have to change like 90% of my presentation.
Right. Well, yeah, he's true, though.
There's nothing inadvertent about it, Jason. He told you that's wrong, and you have to change it.
Well, you know that.
I was inadvertent. That wasn't something I planned on doing.
The one thing I always like to talk to Kenny about is it doesn't matter. I know a lot of this stuff is crazy, and you can think of different ways. But even if somebody gets a legitimate picture of an apparition, we don't know there is any legitimate photos out there. And when one person does get it, there's still going to be thousands of people that are going to come up with different ways that those persons took that picture and how it was faked, even if it was real.
This is true.
You're going to have to shoot and kill a ghost and present the body.
Right, absolutely. But Kenny's really good, guys, at the fake photos and stuff like that. I mean, he's the best guy out there. And he wrote a couple books on the stuff. I know Orbs Are Dust was a great one that I grabbed. Oh, he got a new book out. Was it Ghost of Getty's? What was that?
You know, here's the thing. I think when you become a ghost hunter, I think a required course you should have to take is the Kenny Biddle photography class.
Oh, definitely. Dude, well, he would knock you through your first couple years as a ghost hunter.
Well, I found it interesting. I was listening to the Encounter show, too, where he was telling people, go out and get a good camera. Get an SLR camera, or at least get a nice camera that you can put a separate lens, separate flash on so that you can get the flash away from the lens so you get less orbs. But I told people that once, and they came back to me later and complained that because I told them to change cameras, they weren't getting ghosts anymore because it didn't catch orbs. So it's like,
I wanted to bring up
you're
real
raining
quick
on somebody's paranormal parade.
I guess so.
Nobody likes that, but it's got to be done.
Well, you're raining on mine right now, so shut up. I'm kidding. But I believe in
God, molester.
That's what I was going to say, man. I was the poem I read tonight. I looked hard and long for that poem, guys. It's a children's poem, and it really brings back what was one of the reasons got us all, I think, started in ghost hunting, stuff like that. Halloween night, man. It's coming up. It's fast approaching. It was always such a magical night. And you know how it says, you know, it's Halloween, trying to get in one last hour of fun. And I remember how that used to be, out running the streets, you know, soaping windows, getting candy. I don't say soap windows, kids, don't do that. But we ran around, you know, getting at all kinds of stuff, growing through the cemetery at night, just walking through there and, you know, going out there. And I remember all the it was just magic, man. I still smell it in the air. Every year I see the kids out coming to the house getting, you know, candy and stuff. It's magical. It's a magical
time. I didn't do that, Sean, because I was a good child and I didn't go out and cause mischief.
You didn't, huh? Did you? You went out for Halloween, though, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now, were you out, like, in the country, or was it suburbs?
It was the start of suburbs in the country. When I was really young, there were only a few houses, and as I got older, a few more came in. You know, it's a big town where I grew up, but when I was a kid, there wasn't that much. You know, you got maybe 20 houses, so.
Now, did you guys, between you and Jason, did you guys make your costumes, or were they store-bought?
I had a healthy mix of both.
I think I had a mix, too. I still remember my Casper the Ghost costume that was bought in a store and had the little plastic mask with the rubber band that broke about 15 minutes into the night.
Yeah.
I had a Cookie Monster one like that.
You had to walk around holding the mask in front of your face the whole time, and you were crying because, you know, oh, my mask broke. And, yeah.
Yeah, they were so cheap. They still sell them, too. They put a little rubber band. It's not even an official rubber band. It's just like a white rubber string. And they staple it. And those masks, remember you'd sweat in those masks, man, those plastic masks? They were terrible.
Well, a few years into it, my mother got the point, and what she would do is when we got the costume home, she would take the rubber band off the back at the beginning and then staple, like, a heavy piece of, like, rubber banding that you put into clothing.
Yeah,
you know, and around the back.
My mom had to eventually take and, like, cut bigger nose holes on the thing because she couldn't breathe through.
My mom just, she had to let out my ghost costumes because they didn't have husky-sized Halloween costumes.
Your ghost costumes, the sheets didn't fit you, Sean? Is that what you're saying?
No, we bought those little plastic ones that would tie in the back, you know, and I had to go to the husky section.
You're the cheapest little He-Man I ever seen.
See? I'm pedaling Husky again, Gowan. I'm gonna keep pedaling too.
You can't pedal Husky anymore. You can't just do it.
You're not allowed.
Remember this, guys. When Extreme Paranormal comes out, I'm Husky. Just remember that. That's all I'm saying. I'm a Husky man.
There will be no doubt about that you're Husky, because there's no way to hide it.
The camera adds 10 pounds, and Sean had about 4 or 5 cameras on him at one time, so.
Yeah. Never know. And the rest of them, you know, I can't say things on the air what it adds, but you'll see for yourself. But that was a big, Nathan, why don't you go ahead and tell them the big announcement today? I just got it. You emailed it to me earlier.
Oh, the email I sent to you, yes, that we are on the schedule for A&E. October 19th, 10 p.m.
There you go. There you go. We're going to be live.
Did you notice they also have us listed on Friday? Do you know anything about that?
I do not know about that.
Because I think we're also listed on Friday.
I think Friday they got a request that they just wanted the clips of me, the shots with me in it, so they're going to play the best of Sean on Friday. And
that's going to be a three.
Sort of Biggest Loser thing where they have to get all the. There.
The best shots of Sean, so it's going to be a three minute advertisement. Is that it?
It might be. But they'll have paranormal quick tips with Nathan. That's oh god, the fun keeps getting better. I tell you guys. But hey, I was going to tell you, I hurt my back this week. I know you guys are so concerned. I hurt my back actually. I woke up with it after work last week, and I couldn't move. First time in my life that I could not get out of bed. I could not do it, and I finally just rolled onto my side and got out, and I was walking on one good leg, and I went to a chiropractor this week and seen him a couple times. I'm still hurting, but I got to tell you, I watched that Penn and Teller's BS, you know, and I watched it on HBO, and they talked about chiropractors not being real and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I got to tell you, it's really helped me quite a bit. So,
Well, it's the first time Sean couldn't get out of bed. Usually he wakes up and the girl he doesn't know gives him one kick and he's gone. You know, he's out of the bed and out the door. No. So.
I know a surefire way to get him out of bed. You put about 6 of those White Castle cheeseburgers at the end of the bed, he'll get right up.
I have them before bed, thank you.
And that's why the ladies get out of bed first. So
that's right, and the onion chips. But oh my God, what a week, what a night, man! Anybody watching football? I gotta give a shout out the Colts tomorrow night. They go Monday night football tomorrow night. So go Colts, go Blue. Let's do it against Miami Dolphins. And they had a big fight tonight in AFC South, which is our division, of course. And there was a question. I want to throw it out to our readers too, guys, real quick. I know it's not a football show, but if you go into our forums, should people be thrown out of games for throwing punches? Should the players be thrown out of games for throwing punches when things are provoked, when other players provoke them or other players are fighting with them? I want you to answer that. So
what are you talking about provoked? Are you like, are we talking like your mama so fat, you know?
No, I'm talking physically provoking someone, grabbing their face mask and shaking it or pushing them to the ground or anything like
that. If the other guy didn't throw a punch, they shouldn't throw it. You know, it's just it's just an excuse to be able to start. They want to get them thrown out. So, yeah, it's a good rule. Keep it in there. You know, it's.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure you put that in the forums because I don't know. They had it coming. They had it coming. I'd probably done the same thing. But anyway, guys, getting off football. Like I said, go Colts tomorrow night. But we got the Chicago Ghost Conference coming up, guys. If you want to see us three pretty faces together, which will be it's very rare to catch all three of us together. The Chicago Ghost Conference is coming up on the 2nd and 3rd of this of October.
That's right. It is. I mean, we're still looking on how we're going to get out there. We got the tickets. We got to make sure we're landing on time, but I think they're still selling tickets, but I understand they're really starting to sell fast. It's the beginning of that Halloween season, and everybody's looking for something to get in the mood, or shall we say, in the spirit of the season, and so the tickets are going quickly. Hey, Jason, do you have your window down while you're driving?
I do, actually. Hold on.
Good to jump out.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our friend Jason Gowan is on his way back from the Mothman Festival, so he's going to be driving for the entire show, unless a police officer drives up behind him, then he'll hang up.
Did you actually, I said I hope you guys got attacked by the Mothman while you were down there. Did anybody get attacked?
nobody got attacked by the Mothman, but some Kenny Biddle attacked me. I attacked Bonnie and I attacked Scott L.
You said you were actually wrestling Kenny Bennett with clothes on, so you guys were kind of out of your ordinary, if you will, right? Because usually you're naked.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there was friction that we don't normally have.
Right, right. So how'd you deal with that? Butter or syrup or what?
No, it was just regular WWE wrestling. He beat me with the Hulk Hogan leg drop.
Ugh.
Did you spear him? Spear to the head?
No, but I didn't do the people's elbow.
There you go. There you go. He got it then.
Yeah, he got it, but he managed to kick out. I didn't get the win.
So, Nathan, what were you doing today? Can you talk about it?
I can talk about it. No, it was, you remember last week I went down to the Renaissance Festival, and my friends, it was the last day of the Renaissance Festival today, and I haven't gone to closing day of the Renaissance Festival in about 7 years, so I was a geek, and I went down to the Renaissance Festival to say goodbye to all my friends, who I won't see for another year, probably. So I was down there, and that's why I got back so late and was rushing around to set up the equipment at the last minute.
Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. You get to the point after going to the Renaissance Festival for so many years that it becomes just you go to the bar that you and your friends hang out at the Renaissance Festival. You sit at that bar all day and just talk, and when you're hungry, you go get food, like giant turkey legs or something like that, and do a little shopping, and then you go back and drink some more, and it's a fun night.
I haven't been to a Renaissance Festival in like 8 years.
Like 8 minutes? Whatever. You're wearing tights right now, probably.
Yes, but they're not for the Ren Fair.
At least Nathan's got an excuse. He does the Renaissance Fair.
And I don't wear tights.
See, there you go. There you go. Well, I got something
really cute in tights, thank you very much.
Yes, but yours are all pleather.
No, I have... You know, I'm not going to have this talk with either one of you right now.
Oh, you'll do it. but we got a story.
Sean, I was going to say, I'm starting to get thirsty, Sean. We need you to read the news so that we can all drink.
That's what I was getting ready to do, guys. So anytime I mess up tonight, you know the rules. Take a drink of whatever beverage you have in front of you. So I found a good story tonight. I thought we could all read it together. It's 11 hints you might be descended from aliens. Guys, this should be good.
Let's test this out.
Let's test it out. So it says, first of all, it's a German archaeologist, Dr. Richard Graff, came up with this. And it says, aliens interbred with our ancestors more than 8,000 years ago, and their extraterrestrial features are still evident in humans today. It's a mind-blowing new claim that just came out, guys. And he's got 11 steps. 11 steps you might be descended from aliens. So I want you guys to totally shred down naked right now and check yourself out for these. The first one is that the eye color is usually green or hazel, and the eyes are set wide apart in the head.
My eyes are set wide apart, but they're not hazel or green.
Now, my eyes are set wide apart, and my eyes are hazel. So go on.
Okay, you guys, so Nathan is one for one.
All right, you guys actually look like Lhasa Apsus. Your eyes are so freaking far apart from you.
I look like a little Asian kid.
You got more video games than a little Asian kid. Okay, that's one for one for Nathan. Feet tend to be small and narrow. Toes are apt to be longer than most people feel is normal.
That kind of leads to it. Yeah, mine look like a second pair of hands.
Yeah, here's the third one. Here's the third one. Ears are larger than average and set close to the head. Now, what set of ears aren't close to the head?
I don't know.
I've seen a few people who look like a taxi driving down with the doors open, so I'm guessing they mean them.
Right, and this
now,
one is...
Do you think my Mr. Potato Head ears, do they qualify, or are my ears pretty normal?
And this next one...
Nobody's ever seen them because of your hat, Jason. But,
outside of the hat.
Jason gets a point for...
He don't tuck his ears in the hat, Nathan.
Jason gets a point for his ears and a point for his feet. I get a point for my feet and a point for my eyes. Okay, Sean's still not an alien. Go ahead.
This next one, penis is usually way smaller than average. So I figured that dinged you right there, Gil.
All right, Sean gets a point, and the rest of us are okay on that one.
I didn't hear it.
You're going to make me say penis again. Penis is usually way smaller than average. So I think that knocks Kenny Biddle out of the chat room, too, with that.
Kick him out anyway.
And it's got hands and fingers are long and slender. Nails tend to be perfectly formed but fragile.
No, that's...
That's not you. Facial features are usually delicate, but sometimes appear to be sharply chiseled, which are like mine, sharply chiseled facial features. Lips are either fuller than average or unusually thin. Now, I know Nathan and Gowan, you guys got the pouty lips.
So
you guys put your
I
lips
do. I have very marshmallowy features.
And hips are fuller than average to downright wide. In women, breasts are small for build. So...
We can't count those points, except for maybe Jason. How are your hips there, Jason?
I don't know. My hips don't lie.
Apparently, aliens' hair tends to be red or blonde. Oh. That knocks all three of us out.
Well, actually...
Well, that's not any of us.
I put the stuff in my hair so that it doesn't look blonde, but I am blonde.
You are blonde?
Okay, so you got another point.
There's two for Nathan. Body build is small to average. Bones are usually weak. And that would be both for you and Gowan. So.
My bones are weak.
Weak and fragile.
I've only broken my hand.
You have strong bones to hold up all this fat.
Oh, dreamers. Let's say here. The aliens who traveled to Earth long ago were almost certainly visionaries, and that is reflected in their descendants today. It says you have a lot of dreams. If you dream a lot, you may be an alien.
Who doesn't dream a lot?
That's definitely me.
And if you're independent, if you're an independent person, they say that's almost certainty that you're an alien. So there you go, guys. 11 hints. You might be descended from aliens. I don't think I read all 11, but you guys have to fill in the blanks.
I only got 4 points.
Well, Jason's got 4. I've got 5. Sean, you've got 3, including small penis. So I think you're okay.
I got that one, too. So I guess I also had 5 points.
Oh, okay. 5 points for 5 points for Jason. So we're half alien, Jason, you and I.
Yeah. You guys are from the Conehead tribe. I'm sitting here drawing a mustache right now.
Have a genetic test.
I bet you laughed at the lady that fell down and couldn't get any help, didn't you, Gowan, on the commercial? I've fallen, I can't get up. You laugh at her, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
I knew you did. I knew it. I'm sitting here drawing a beard and mustache on this lady. I got her picture today. It's a 107-year-old woman looking for a husband. She actually ran an article, guys. Get ready to drink. This is from Kuala Lumpur. Drink up. Don't ruin it, Nathan. Okay, I circled. She's got a mustache and beard now. But a 107-year-old Malaysian woman is looking for her 23rd husband. Kind of like Gowan. Wuk Kundor was born in 1902. Despite living in a very traditional country, Kundor has been married 22 times. She made the news 4 years ago when she married Mohammed Nur Chismusa, a man 70 years... Go ahead and drink, guys. I'm pretty sure I pronounced that wrong, too. A man 70 years junior to her. She now holds the set record for the largest age disparity in the legal marriage system. However, she is now ready to find a new husband, and she fears that now drug-addicted Musa will leave her for a younger woman. He voluntarily checked into Kuala Lumpur Rehab Clinic in July, but Kundor does not have faith in her marriage surviving. Lately, there's a kind of insecurity in me, she told the Star newspaper. My intention to remarry is to fill my forlornness, and nothing more than that. Given Kundor's track record, she won't have a hard time finding a new suitor, they say. So best wishes to her, man. 107 years old.
Forlornness,
yeah. Forlornness. That's a new word. Oh, she's smoking hot if you're 100 years old.
At 107, you know, I'm going to be happy if I'm breathing. Nah, I'm not going to worry about finding someone new.
Right. That's crazy.
Is she hot? Sean, is there a picture of her?
Yeah, she's hot. That's why I put a mustache and beard on her, man. She's wearing a little yellow cape thing over her head, and she kind of looks like Archie Bunker from All in the Family.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She kind of favors him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I never really was very into Archie. Now, if she looked like Edith Bunker, I would have been all over.
Edith, stifle yourself.
Hey, Sean, we're running out of time before break. Do you have one more you want to read, or should we take a quick break?
Let's see here. I don't know. It's so much fun stuff I got. Let's just save it for next week and go to break, huh?
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Melissa Martin-Ellis with the Everything Ghost Hunting book.
Okay, guys, stay on ice. Up next, everything ghost hunting you need to know.
Yep.
Hey, all you ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts. This is Ursula Bielski of Chicago Hauntings. Please join us October 2nd and 3rd for a weekend you will not want to miss. Myself will be with Mike McDowell and the Indiana Ghost Trackers as we embark on our second Chicago Ghost Conference. Our great guests will include demonologist and psychic Lorraine Warren from Paranormal State, authors Jeff Belanger, Joshua Warren, Frederick Stonehouse, and Wanda Lou Willis. Also appearing will be Deborah and Tony Pickman from the Sally House, Ray and Paul from Dark Angel Paranormal, Ghostly Talk Radio, Brian Loeffler from Shadow Talk, independent filmmaker Dan Hall, and William Konkoleski from the Michigan chapter of the Mutual UFO Network. Joining us all the way from England will be Eddie Brazil to talk about 150 years of research into the most haunted house in England, Borley Rectory. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours now at chicagohauntings.com or call 1-800-GHOST-91. This is an event not to be missed with lots of after-hours events to round out your weekend. Thanks so much. Don't forget to join us and have a haunted day in Chicago. In the absence of
if there's trouble, all us freaks have is each other.
Hello, hello, everyone. You're listening to a voice you probably haven't heard in quite some time. That's right, this is the Mind of Magnus. And I want to thank the Ghostman and Demon Hunter for kicking my butt and getting me back in the groove of doing some of these recordings, because personally, I love doing the podcast stuff. And also, I love doing crypto news and news of the weird and strange. So news of the Magnus also consists of me being doing a lot of ghost hunts, some great crypto hunts, working with some really cool folks, trying to debunk some stories, find some facts and some other stuff. And it's been great times. One thing I just recently got back from is the Portland, Maine, which is an amazing city if you guys haven't been there. Check out Sebago Brewery. Great place, amazing food. But what you really want to check out is wait till November 1st and go to the International Crypto Museum. That's right, November 1st. The International Crypto Museum will be opening its doors in downtown Portland, Maine. They will be offering t-shirts and even footcasts for those who are attending. They'll have a collection of the random, the weird, the unusual, and just a fun thing to check out. So if you happen to find yourself in Portland, Maine, take some time and go check it out there. So we'll start off the crypto news with a classic. Let's go with a good one of, let's say, Bigfoot. And a Bigfoot is close to my home. Well, the Northeast. Okay, not really that close. But Pennsylvania. Big, fun state. Kind of boring drive-thru, though. So it seems that a Bigfoot sighting has taken place in very much in the Harry and the Henderson sort of method. A couple driving on the road nearly hit one with a car. It was about 6 p.m. when the event occurred. Witness was driving down the road about 35, 40 miles per hour when suddenly she caught out of the corner of her eye a figure coming from the left side approaching her. Her first thought that it was a person. Well, understandable. I mean, a person walking in the middle of the woods running at cars could be chased by a murderer. You never know how it goes. So her first thought was she was going to hit it with a car. She suddenly swerved over the right side of the road and was thankfully that no one was there, because it's hard to explain to the insurance company why you wrecked your car trying to avoid a mythical creature. As she was making the turn, she got a good look at the figure, and she suddenly realized that it was not a person, but a strange creature. While still pulled over after nearly missing the creature, the woman remained seated in her car, trying to regain her composure. Her husband probably screaming at this point in time. She could not believe what just occurred. Seconds later, she looked up to see the creature now on her right side, running quickly down the middle of the road, about 75 feet away. That was the last time she saw it, but the entire incident lasted about several seconds. The creature was 6 feet tall, slightly taller than 6 feet, muscular, and covered with man-like hair, but very wild hair. So it could have been a hippie. Who knows? Crypto people are out looking around for information on it, any sort of evidence, and have yet to find anything of the sort. Where it was released, it was from, I actually had been down in that area about 9 months ago or so. So I'll actually say this person probably saw something. Her and her husband both are credible witnesses and saw it roughly 10 feet away from a car and said it wasn't a guy in a costume. So let's pick something unusual now. We did Bigfoot, normal stuff. How about we go into weird half-breeds? Sounds like a plan. So, how about this one? A goat gives birth to a human fawn. Yeah, that's right. Goat, human, and it's not from Alabama. But if you go to Zimbabwe News, you'll see some interesting report out of Lower Guru, where they're talking about how a town is left shell-shocked when a goat gives birth to a human-like creature. So in the Chronicle, they talk about this creature having a human head, face, nose, shoulders, and very human-like skin, the very scantily amount of fur. I don't want to use the word scantily in there because that's just kind of creepy. But below that part, he had goat features from the shoulders to the legs down. Villagers said the end product was so scary that even dogs were afraid to move close to it. So they're thinking it's a little bit of a excited neighbor with a very frisky goat. But instead, I would probably say most likely birth defect. And a creepy one at that. So unless Sean was in Zimbabwe, I really think it was just probably a genetic birth defect that looked similar to a human. But who knows? I'll try to find a photo of it. And if I can, I'll post it. So with that, I end this Mind of Magnus on a happy note, saying thanks to be back. And watch out wherever you are. There are some big scary things that go bump in the night. I know. Sean's one of them.
Halloween is coming fast, and so is the 2009 Phantom Con in Hickory, North Carolina, October 16th through the 18th. Phantom Con will be the only host of the 2009 Haunted Survivors Tour. Guests include Shannon Sylvia of Ghost Hunters International, Jeff Sylvia of Up for Discussion, Jan Pierce, Stephen LaChance, and Denise Jones of the Haunted Survivors Tour. Psychic medium to the stars, Lizzie Starr. Author and psychic, Katie Boyd. And psychic investigator, Jackie Carpenter. Also, Jason Gowan and Nathan Schoonover of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tickets start at $20 for one day and $35 for the two-day event, October 16th and 17th. There will also be an evening ghost hunt and a special Sunday event, October 18th, both with limited seating. Discover more about the paranormal and the 2009 Phantom Con at www.phantomcon.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Horn, author of Unbelievable, and you're listening to The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
They say a dirty word in that song.
They do not.
It's a dirty word. I thought we didn't have dirty words on this program. This is a clean family.
There are seven words we don't say on the program, Sean.
Before.
Give them to me. I'll say every one of them. Actually, I got that list tied up in front of me here. It's stapled to the wall. But anyway, guys, we're having a great night. Thanks for staying with us after you heard us the first half hour. So thanks for staying in there, guys. And we got a great guest tonight on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Melissa Martin Ellis, author of Everything Ghost Hunting. What's going on, Melissa?
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Nathan. What's up?
Oh, we're just we're rocking out. Have you spoken to Jason before?
I have, I think. Haven't I?
He's
yeah, I've heard of one of my first shows, actually.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, so how are you doing, Jason?
I am doing pretty good, despite having to work with John.
wouldn't
pain.
Wouldn't that be you're doing pretty good for having to work with Sean there, Jason?
Yeah.
The last time we spoke, I think Sean was hit by lightning or something.
I was?
That's right. Your phone went out because of the storm that was going on at your...
Oh, yeah. You know what, Melissa?
Right.
That's happened like four times during the show. It just kicks me off the air. We're sitting there having a conversation and boom, I'm gone.
Spooky.
I don't know if it's somehow it's my internet connection. I don't know.
It's your magnetic personality, Sean. That's what it is. It's your magnetic personality.
Did anybody go out and buy those magnetic helmets I talked about last week? It's supposed to reverse the aging process. Gowan, you said you almost bought some.
I almost bought some because they make the website seem so convincing.
If Gowan puts it on, he'll look three. He just can't do that.
I won't even be able to drive anymore.
We'll be like, Gowan, what's that on your stomach? That's the umbilical cord that's growing back.
If we go back to filming the show, Sean will have to wear me in one of those snuggles on his back.
That would be my honor to wear you in a snuggle.
You guys are so crazy.
We try.
I know.
Melissa,
you're doing a good job.
You know, you're the author of Everything Ghost Hunting. Now, what does that feel like to be the author of a book called Everything Ghost Hunting? because you touch bases on pretty much everything, right?
Well, as the title says, yes.
Yeah.
I do cover everything. It feels good. I'm very proud of this book, actually. It had been about 15 months since I had read it. And then when I picked it up, when I saw it in printed form, I was delighted. I was like, hey, this is pretty interesting. There's stuff in here I'd forgotten.
I bet. Now, do you take the regular heat everybody in the paranormal takes whenever you try to do something in the community? Did you take any heat, like everything paranormal for the title or anything you said in the book? Does people come after you sometimes?
I haven't had that yet, but, you know, it's only been out a couple of weeks, actually. So, you know, that may be coming.
So, well, I hope not.
It's funny. Whenever somebody – the nice thing about Melissa's book is she contacted as many people as she could and blended as many ideas as she could, so people got a full spectrum of paranormal ideas. Not necessarily theories, but everybody's ideas on the paranormal. And I kind of like that because there's not really anything to argue with because all the arguments are already in the book for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nathan. That's very nice. Yeah, I don't take any extreme stances. I don't really push any agenda. I just, you know, have a lot of different facts and put them out there.
And that's very cool because the way you look at that, the way you wrote it is, like you said before, nobody can really attack that because those aren't your theories. Those are everyone else's theories, and you kind of put it together.
Yeah, it's sort of a supernatural smorgasbord. You know, you can take what you want from it.
Now, it's coming up on the Halloween season. You got to be ready to get busy, right?
Yeah. I do a lot of writing and a lot of editing, so I'm carving out some time in October to do a little bit of promotion on the book. And we'll be appearing at the Annex doing a book signing. That's in Newport, Rhode Island, on Halloween. So that's going to be my first book signing for this book.
Now, that's a cool adult activity for Halloween. You know, you want something to do that's a little spooky, a little Halloween-y, a lot ghostly, and you can go out to a book signing. And I believe that the place you're talking about is a comic book store to boot.
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, that's like the child in us all smorgasbord right there. Ghosts and comic books right there. It's
Yeah, actually, we're really looking forward to it. My husband, Mark, who is also an author, is going to be there. And we'll have a new graphic novel coming out called Nosferatu, Plague of Terror. So you'll be there to autograph that at the same time.
Now, where's a copy of that?
Well, I'll put one aside for you.
Oh, I would love that.
But the comic books are available in comic book stores all over, right?
Well, they're not out yet, but yeah, you will be able to order them off our website or, you know, through your comic book retailer.
Hey, Melissa,
or even off Amazon.com. More and more people are doing that.
Amazon.com. Hey, what possessed you, Melissa, to start writing this book?
Well, let's not say possessed, Sean. That could be a bad...
let's stay ghostly. Possessed. What possessed you?
Well, you know, I have just been fascinated by the paranormal my whole life. And I've had a lot of paranormal experiences. So, you know, it just seemed natural. My agent approached me. We had been talking about ghost hunters, and this was about 3 years ago, about the sort of just bunch of shows and books that were coming out about ghost hunting and the paranormal. And when she talked to me, she like had a publisher in mind that she pitched the idea to, and it just took off.
Now, the neat thing with the Everything Ghost Hunting book with the title, guys, is if you've ever walked into a store and seen the Everything Gardening book, or you've seen the Everything, you know, the Everything House Repair book. They're the white books with the Everything cover. That's the Everything Ghost Hunting book. It's actually put out by these companies that do books for people who want all the information that there is to do it.
It's right next to the Kama Sutra book, I believe.
The Everything Kama Sutra book, yes.
Yeah, Everything Kama Sutra.
Oh, I'm sure you've worn out three of those.
I bought the whole edition, man. I love it. But anyway, Melissa...
But he's only used the first three pages. But,
That's right. I got through the...
Well, the Alabama crag dangle's hard to do.
Oh, it's crazy. That's crazy. So, Melissa, have you ever been in a haunted house, or have you had any experiences with the other side, the paranormal?
Actually, yes, I have. When my daughter was a baby, I lived in a haunted house.
Okay.
You know, what I presume now was a haunted house. There was a lot of unexplained phenomena in this house, and it was really kind of a creepy place to be alone in the middle of the night. I'd be up with the baby and you know, hear or see things. Very unsettling. Very, very disturbing.
Would anything ever wake up the baby in the middle of the night or anything like that?
You know, I would hear her screaming, but I assume all babies do that anyway in the middle of the night.
So. Yeah, yeah. You know, I have a 3-month-old here at the house, Melissa.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and you know, the one thing, I always said I wanted to live in a haunted house. I did. I was raised in one, but when I moved out, became a man, I wanted to live in a haunted house. I'm just mm-hmm. fascinated by it. And, of course, I get a house that's free of ghosts, or at least the ghosts are too lazy to make anything happen around here. But I get a house here, and then I thought with my daughter when she came along, I'm kind of glad it's not haunted because, you know, some of our friends that we know, they've had violent hauntings happen to them and some bad things that they say have happened, and I just didn't want to chance that around my daughter, you know?
Oh, I know what you mean. You just feel so protective. I got out of that house when she was about 6 months old. We moved out of it.
That's very
disturbing to be alone. And I began to worry, you know, that it was affecting her because I'd hear something and look down and her eyes had rolled up in her head.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that's really freaky. Yeah.
Oh, my daughter does that too. And so do I, actually, when you wake me up in the middle of the night. My eyes, she did that to me one time and I was like, woo, woo.
That is freaky, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's funny too, though, because of those fears and those experiences, you went about your book in such a way that you warned people that if you get involved in the paranormal, you could very well come across a case that is malevolent or dangerous, and mm-hmm. gave them also talked with people on dealing with those situations and where to find help in those situations.
Right. You know, I think that is sort of a neglected aspect of this business, that people get into it and they don't realize what the repercussions can be. And they, you know, on television, it's very glamorous and, you know, looks like it's a lot of fun, but you have to deal with
guys.
It. Pardon?
What's that, Gail?
But yeah, those TV guys.
Oh, yeah, well, you know how they are. By the way,
I do
congratulations.
Very well,
I wanted to congratulate you guys on the show. I mean, that's really exciting news.
Thanks, Melissa.
Well, you can see how well we're doing.
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
you can see how well we're doing since we're still here every Sunday night broadcasting for free.
Hey, we're glad you are.
Yeah, we're here doing a public service. Actually, this is our public service. It's court ordered. So no, I'm kidding.
Well, that's court ordered community service.
But Melissa, did you ever see like apparitions or things like that, or was it just noises and things?
I have seen very fleeting sort of what could have been matrixing. But I used to see the same figure over and over, sort of whenever I was in the woods, I would see like in a tree or just ducking behind a tree, a particular figure, which at the time I knew nothing about this, but now I think it might have been an elemental. You know, but
yeah.
As far as like seeing a full body apparition, I have never seen anything like that.
Right. Right. We were actually going over stories in the chat room, Melissa. People were talking about, you know, things that are haunted in their place. I think they're goofing on me a little bit. And I actually said, my toilet, and this is true, there's a toilet, not in my house now, but in the old house I used to live in, and I know it was from something else, but it always sounded like a woman would scream when you flushed the toilet. And she'd go, ah!
And Sean knows because he's heard so many women scream that.
Yes, yes. Scream in ecstasy, my friend.
Sounds like they need to call in a paranormal plumber, huh?
See, oh, there you go.
You know, we don't call paranormal plumbers here. We
no.
There's too many strings attached.
Too many strings attached, yes.
I do it myself, you know, with duct tape and the plumber's helper. That's how I get through everything in the house. But, yeah, we used to make fun of it because it sounded just like a woman screaming, you know.
Oh, my God.
I should have called the apps in or whatever the name is.
Yes,
I should have called
the name we don't mention.
I said apps. Is it app?
Yes, there's a new plumbing technique on your iPhone. Yes, it's the apps. It's the
yeah, that's what you can use. They it's actually cool. They got a new game. My son wants the DSi. I think it's called the DSi for Nintendo. It's like $150, $175, and it actually has a ghost hunting game on it, guys. You can look it up online. It's called Ghostwire, ghostwire.com. Check that out. It's really cool. It lets the kids or the adult go around the house, and you use different tools on your DSi, recording tools, different types of audio, different types of EMF things, stuff like that. Then you find the ghost, which I believe the ghost is at it by the game, and you got to find out why the ghost is there, what it wants, and help it move on.
Well, now I know what I want for Christmas.
Well,
I know it.
It's interesting, too. There's video games to teach you to ghost hunt. If you get an iPhone, you can get an iPhone with an EMF meter application. You can add it to your phone. There's TV shows. There's just about everything out there that you can get about ghost hunting. Melissa, what do you think the causes of this boost in paranormal interest in the public?
Well, I think that there are a lot more. Are you getting an echo? I'm hearing like a horrible
Let
echo
me see
of
if
my
I can
own
fix
voice.
That. Hold on.
Pardon?
Let me see if I can fix that.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Alrighty. I think it's just, that there are so many more channels on now, and that, once Ghost Hunters became so popular, it just sort of lit the flame of interest. I mean, there's always been an interest in the paranormal. There's always been interest in supernatural stuff and ghosts. But it just hit the public at the right time.
Yeah, I was getting ready to mention earlier.
Oh, I agree, absolutely.
I was getting ready to mention earlier, guys, is you just brought that up, Nathan, about the surge in paranormal popularity, if you will, here in the last, 4 or 5 years. But I remember when I first started looking into ghosts, which has been my whole life, but when I first started looking into cats that actually went out and tried to find ghosts, you couldn't see anybody anywhere. Now you can't go any kind of place without seeing somebody with a ghost hunting research t-shirt on or an sticker on their van. It's just amazing.
Well, I was actually driving down to the Renaissance Fair today and got behind a van that had a ghost hunting sticker on the back of their van that said, night investigators. And,
wow.
Well,
maybe the show has made it socially acceptable.
I think it has, and that's,
you know, there's no stigma attached to being a ghost hunter anymore. Everybody thinks it's kind of cool.
I'm looking at 20 years now of investigating and researching, and I actually had a girlfriend get angry at me once because she knew I had a secret, and I wouldn't tell her what it was, and the secret was that we'd go out paranormal investigating, but I didn't want to tell her because I knew she'd tell people. And if she told people, I'd feel like I didn't want to feel stupid in front of my friends. So, here we are. A relationship ended over an argument because I wouldn't tell her I was ghost hunting.
Wow.
I know of a friend.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Melissa.
I was going to just say, they should have Ghost Hunters Anonymous or something. Yeah. Yeah, in the old days, it used to be like if you even, discussed it in polite society or conversation, people would act like you were a little bit, out there.
Well, still to this day, guys, when I took the police exam to be on the force, it was one of the questions on the psych exam was, do you believe in ghosts or UFOs?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, it was. One of the questions that they asked me, and I absolutely put down no, because I wanted the job at the time.
No way, that's nutty.
But still, we've had presidents who have, like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Made a report that he saw a UFO.
Which
president saw Lincoln?
Several presidents have claimed to see Lincoln. I know, trying to remember which one you're talking about there. I'll have to check on that.
Hey, did you guys actually, I think it might have been one of you two that told me, but Melissa, this little girl won a contest, a writing contest or something, to ask the President Obama a question. And she won it, and the only question she asked was, how does it feel to live in one of the most haunted houses in the United States?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she asked him that. She was like in fourth or fifth grade, and I don't know what the answer was, but that's true. The White House has its stories.
So, you know, yes, it certainly does.
Okay,
it's,
Lincoln's ghost.
To be quite haunted.
Lincoln's ghost has been spotted by Theodore Roosevelt, Herbert Hoover, Harry Truman, Calvin Coolidge, Eleanor Roosevelt. Visiting people have included Winston Churchill and the daughter of Ronald Reagan.
Which one dressed in women's clothes?
Maureen
Which
Reagan,
guy
yep.
dressed in women's clothes? Which one was that Hoover?
No, you're thinking of the head
that's
of the...
Edgar Hoover.
That's what I thought.
But
cat's seen a lot of things, man.
But he wasn't president, Sean. He was the head of the FBI. So.
Well, there you go.
But that means that none of them could have gotten on the police force in Sean's town.
See? There you go, man. At least they might have changed it now. I don't know. But that was funny because you always hear stories on the police force of the officers running into situations that you really don't know how to word it in your report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's famous stories of police officers arriving and things flying through the air and stuff when they got there. And those are stories kind of carried under the rug and people just talk about them and chuckle. And you know,
carried under the rug?
Yeah. Swept under the rug.
There you go. I wasn't making fun of you there, Sean. I just didn't know what you were saying.
Buried under the floorboards.
You, there
whatever,
you go.
What have you. So, but anyway, it's a great thing. It's a great topic. Everything ghost hunting. Did you get much into the tools of the trade, Melissa?
I did. You know, there's a chapter on that. I tried not to emphasize too much that the tools... I wanted people really to, you know, focus more on developing the qualities that you need to develop and the attitude that you need to develop more than just the tools. But there is a whole chapter on that. We talk about, you know, EMF meters and flares and, you know, every gadget under the sun.
Now, how do you feel about people going out and ghost hunting?
I think it's great. But I think that they ought to educate themselves before they do it.
Now, like I said, you went into some of the more dangerous stuff. Did you get to speak to anybody who's had bad experiences that led to dangers in the paranormal?
Yeah, I spoke with several sensitives who had encountered actual physical attack while on an investigation. One of them was telling me that she was actually like struck at Payne House in Coventry, Rhode Island. This sensitive by the name of Kim Black was struck and knocked unconscious or stunned for a second. And apparently whatever entity is in that house really doesn't like women.
Wow.
And a couple of other psychics were attacked also.
Well, you know, Jason has actually been picked up and thrown by a ghost.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it was my favorite days. I had been provoking heavily. Like, up to that point, like, I really didn't think there was any harm in what I was doing because I didn't know, like, how far it could actually go. But, I mean, it gave me quite the whooping.
Wow. Did you see anything or did you
Nope, and I never saw anything at all. It was just this, it felt like a football tackle almost.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I think when the last time I was on the show, I discussed Andrew Laird from TRIP-RG, that's the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group, is probably 6'5", you know, a very big guy. And he was attacked on one of his first ghost hunts and, you know, physically picked up and thrown against a wall. And they'd been provoking also, he and his partner.
It is one of those things where, like, when it happens to you, it kind of flips your entire world upside down because,
something
like you think was okay and all right, suddenly isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you sense a malevolent presence or anything before it happened?
Yeah, I had for quite some time, but I continued to poke the stick into the bee's nest.
Oh, you guys.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I know. That's what you do best, right?
Well, Melissa, have you ever done that? Have you ever done any kind of provoking or anything when you were on site of the haunted?
That's not me. That's just not my personality at all to do that.
Well, some say by asking questions at all, you are in fact provoking the dead because some people say it is a no-no to speak to the deceased.
I think as long as you use please and thank you, you're all right.
Right. You know? Well, I always say thank you. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And which is funny to hear because you don't hear that from Sean too often. So it's
they make me out to be quite the character, don't they, Melissa? I tell you.
Yes, I can't imagine why.
You only pull the pigtails of the ones you love, Sean.
That's right. But guys, that's Melissa Martin Ellis, author of Everything Ghost Hunting. And do we have any other wrap-up question,
well,
guys?
Before we go, I want to hit two things, Melissa. I want to ask you, what was your favorite part of the book to write?
That's kind of interesting. I think the part I liked the best was when I wrote about pictures that I'd taken. I'm a photographer, and I have been able to capture a couple of interesting photos. So kind of combining two of my interests and getting to, you know, just show my work, that was the part I enjoyed the most.
Okay, and before we go, I want to hit again on where people can find your book and where they can come to your signing that's coming up on Halloween.
The Ghost Hunting book is distributed worldwide. It's on Amazon.com. A lot of online stores carry it. Your local bookstores have it. And I will be signing copies at the Annex, which I have the address of here somewhere. Oh, yes. 314 Broadway in Newport, Rhode Island on Saturday, October 31st, 3 to 6.
Melissa.
You're welcome.
It's always so much fun to have you on. And,
thank you so much. It's so much fun to talk to you guys.
I'm really looking forward. I'm hoping to be able to get up and join you in Rhode Island on the day on Halloween.
That would be so awesome. I would really love that.
I've never gotten
Melissa,
I've got to
ask you, are your ears small and close to your head? Because you could be an alien. Let's ask you. Serious topic.
We have 11 things that could describe if somebody has alien DNA. So,
how did he know?
She's an alien.
I am. Right. That's been said before, but not illegal.
That's right. So we got two aliens on the show tonight, folks. See, they all got a bonus, man. They got a bonus. All are listening.
Very cool talking to you guys, and I hope to see you all soon.
You too, Melissa. You too. Can you hang on while we wrap up tonight?
Sure.
Okay. Sean, I want to still be able to smoke my nice Rocky Patel cigar here that I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut. So,
Buttheads.
So we're going to wrap up, and I'm going to edit the show for iTunes later on. But what do you say we thank everybody tonight for joining us for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show?
Sounds good to me, brother. Hey, guys, Melissa Martin Ellis, author of Everything Ghost Hunting. What a great show. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget to join us next week, September 27th. Where we're going to talk to, and God help me, I hope I say this right, Lauren Rhodes from Morbid Curiosities, Cure the Blues. That will be next Sunday, September 27th.
Well, I'll be darned, guys. Hey, there you go. Have a great week, guys. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody.
Bye, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.